Let me jump into today's Right Side Way opening monologue. And I said it a moment ago, and I'm serious about this. We are in a leadership vacuum. The world is in a leadership vacuum right now. I mean, the United States of America still holds the position of being the world superpower, maybe the sole world superpower. But our nation has a pitiful, doddering, out-of-touch man at the helm. And I'll be honest, sometimes I feel like our state, Alabama, is in much the same boat. Now, make no mistake, like I said, vacuums do not stay empty. In the absence of strong elected executive leadership, and that's what I'm talking about, I'm focusing on the executive branch right now. In the absence of strong elected executive leadership, meaning a president or a governor, in the absence of someone strongly holding those roles, someone will rise to fill the vacuum. Sometimes it'll be a non-elected bureaucrat or a member of a body from another branch of government or a member of society who's able to speak into the moment and people turn to them and listen. But it's not the will of the people per se. When the elected executive branch leadership abdicates or hides or folds, their role is going to be filled by unelected leaders, and that's not always good. Now, the world can see that the Biden administration is one big empty suit. It just is. I mean, at the recent G20 summit, Biden was backbenched. I mean, literally backbenched. He's not just a lame duck. Now he's just like being tolerated. Press reports show that he missed major photo ops with other world leaders. The press was even kept back from the podium so he couldn't have to worry about them asking him questions about things like Ukraine. He looked tired. He looked defeated. And the world can see that Biden has no concern for our own nation's borders, and the world is watching as Biden accelerates war in the Ukraine half a world away. And I'll be honest with you, I'm somewhat pessimistic, very much so. And we got two more months of this, and all we can do is hope. Now, do you remember the movie Patton? George C. Scott, he famously played General George Patton. What a great movie. What a great portrayal. I think he won an Oscar for it. There was one scene in that movie, which was true, by the way, where Patton had been reading German Field Marshal Erwin Rommel's own book on tank warfare. Well, that was his opposition, right? So he read Rommel's book. Well, we got waxed, the Americans did, at the Battle of Kasserine Pass, the first battle. And then we met the Nazi army again at another second battle of Kasserine Pass in North Africa. And Patton put a whopping on Rommel. And at one point in the end of the battle where he could tell the tide had turned, up on a hillside watching with his binoculars, it says that Patton jumped to his feet and yelled, "Rommel, you magnificent SOB, I read your book." Well, that's just it. Right now, all of the world's bad actors have already read Biden's book. We all have. I don't have to look far to get an idea of how President Biden handles foreign policy crises. I mean, remember, he was already a part of the White House leadership when he served as Barack Obama's vice president. And in 2011, an Obama White House officially coined the phrase "leading from behind" to describe then-President Obama's Libya policy. That would be the same lead-from-behind policy that resulted in a complete power vacuum in the wake of the overthrow of terrorist dictator Muammar Gaddafi. Even more infamously, the attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi that saw our ambassador and several other brave men killed. And by the way, for many of us, Benghazi ain't going away. And during that same administration, the Obama-Biden administration, the notion of leading from behind got us the great Russian reset with then-Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. They caused the U.S. to reduce its arms while Moscow did nothing. In the same vein, Russia then annexed the Crimean Peninsula, unchallenged. And U.S.-Russian relations went south. That same lead-from-behind strategy under Obama-Biden caused the U.S. to pull out of Iraq abruptly on a timetable, by the way. A timetable. Not on a boots-on-the-ground discussion about what's happening, conditions on the ground for withdrawal. No, they used a timetable, a calendar. They announced it to the enemy. As a result, we came close to losing the Iraqi government, and we saw the rise of ISIS in Iraq and Syria that caused a resurgence of troops to the region. Yeah, leading from behind saw the Obama-Biden administration enter into a massively lopsided set of deals contrary to U.S. interests. We had a climate deal with China, where they might stop increasing carbon emissions, but we certainly did. A nuclear deal with Iran that caused the U.S. to ship pallets of cash to the Ayatollahs and get nothing but platitudes from them. Even to this day, they call for death to the U.S. and Israel. How about the fact that national security and foreign policy expert James J. Carafano, writing for the Heritage Foundation in 2015, he said the Obama-Biden lead-from-behind strategy put the U.S. into full retreat on the world stage. Having said all that, now there's President Biden. Yeah, he's the man, the commander-in-chief, the leader of the free world. And my concern is he brought the checkerboard to the chess match. Biden continues to lead from behind, not only in his policy, not only in his decision-making, but just in the feckless and tired and defeated manner for which he presents our country to the outside world. And as much as I hate to say it, I also feel much the same about Alabama's current governor, Kay Ivey. Now, look, I've known Kay Ivey personally for over a decade. We campaigned together, we served together, and I love her as a person, but I'm struggling to point to her accomplishments for the past several years as governor. Think about it. Do you remember what they were? Besides the fact that she ran an election where she did not have to do a single confrontational time on the dais with her opposition up there in the primary. No, she did one commercial where she called herself a high stepper, and that was all. Questions to this day abound about her health. A few weeks ago, medics had to be called as she grew faint at an event. The governor's staff keeps her sequestered, and she's typically only out for ribbon cuttings and scripted events. And I watch as our neighboring states have governors like Ron DeSantis and Tate Reeves and Bill Lee and even Brian Kemp in Georgia who, like them or not, they get out front and they push for policy and they lead on their platform issues. When is the last time you saw Governor Ivey seem to lead from a heartfelt out front position? I mean, giving a scripted speech to the Rotary Club of Birmingham is not the same thing as leading on the issues of the day. Using a press release is not the same thing as lobbying for principled policy. Unfortunately, Governor Ivey appears to be leading from behind. So Harvard Business Review published a piece 10 years ago. They talked about leading from behind. They tried to describe it in an overly rosy kind of piece. The author tried to make it as if leading from behind seemed real glossy. It was all kind of cool. He even quoted Nelson Mandela. The quote by the author in that Harvard Business Review piece about leading from behind said that Mandela, in his autobiography, equated great leaders to a shepherd, saying they stay behind the flock, letting the most nimble go out ahead, whereupon the others follow, not realizing that all along they are being directed from behind. Well, that's neat, but this ain't that. There are no nimble others prepared to butt heads with Russia and China. There are no Alabama governor shining moments in the spotlight, inspiring Alabama's constituents. None. It is always possible to find others who will fill a leadership void. Any leader, worth their salt is not going to impress, engage, and win the day by standing in the back and egging others on to do that which they are unwilling to do on their own. No, that's not leadership from behind. That's actually fecklessness, plain and simple. The current president does not inspire confidence. The current president has a legacy of losing on foreign policy, hosing it, really, on foreign policy, and still pretending that it's his strong suit. The current president is a demoralizing example of what happens when someone is elected on personality or anti-personality in this case, with no real inkling about their ability to affect policy. Remember, I've said it on this show many times that Joe Biden has had the luxury of never being in charge of anything in his entire life. He enjoyed the privilege for years, for decades really, of rhetoric without responsibility. The same man who was VP for some of the most awful decisions on the world stage like Iran, Libya, Iraq, Afghanistan, Crimea, North Korea, he's still clinging to the helm for the big game with every single one of those hotspots still testing us because they all read his book, and it ain't good. And Alabama? I mean, Alabama is still listed as one of the reddest states in the nation, where the cost of living is better than most of the country, where business journals continue to rank us as one of the best places in the nation to establish a new business, a state with one of the highest per capita rates of veterans among its population, with mountains and lakes in the north and fertile plains in the center and white sandy beaches in the south, a place with massive potential that is begging for out-front gunslinging leadership. But we don't have it. But think about this. In 2 months, a new president takes the reins in D.C. Whew! And believe it or not, in a mere 6 months, the race for governor of Alabama opens up its primary season. So keep your eyes open, because leadership matters, because leadership vacuums will be filled, and we deserve strong, out-front leadership, no more of this feckless leading from behind. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.